Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you to the children for singing that beautiful song of trust in God. Boy, it fits so well with our text for tonight. All three of the scripture readings that encourage us, don't give up. Jacob, the twin of Esau. Jacob, the one in the Old Testament scripture reading from Genesis chapter 32. Actually, there's 10 chapters about Jacob and Esau that are there. But Jacob would have been a great defensive lineman. He would have been a great football player because, you know, in football, if you go to tackle someone, you want to grab a hold on them and don't let go until you hear the whistle blow. Jacob was great at grabbing. Jacob was great at being that kind of a person, but he didn't play football. He didn't play football. He was a wrestler, wasn't he? He was a wrestler, and what an interesting passage for tonight. Who did Jacob wrestle with? God. He wrestled with God. There's an important lesson for us in that for this evening. Jacob and Esau. What interesting folks. Those of you that have had me in religion class or whatever, you know I love to call them Harry and Grabby. Jacob and Esau. Esau, that twin who was born first, and he came out red and full of hair, and so they called him Harry, Esau. And then Jacob, who was born next as the twin, was born holding on, grabbing on to the heel of Esau, and so they called him Grabby, or Jacob. Jacob came by that name rightfully because Jacob spent his life always grabbing for things. Not only was he grabbing Esau's heel when he was born, but if you remember the story of Jacob and Esau, he grabs that birthright for that bowl of stew. He grabs away the family blessing from his dad as well as from Esau with mom's help. And then after he runs away and he goes up to Uncle Laban's house, he spends 21 years as Uncle Laban is grabbing away from him his opportunity of working. 7 years for Rachel, and he gets Leah. And then 7 more years so he can get Rachel, and then 7 more years so he can get flocks and herds. Jacob spent his life grabbing at things and trying to get things for himself until we have the wrestling match. The wrestling match that is a scriptural teaching that is so extremely important and is a turning point in Jacob's life. It's interesting that Grabby, Jacob, now in the context, as Pastor read for us here tonight, he's heading back home. God had said to him 21 plus years before on Jacob's ladder, his dream, that he would be back there again. God was sending him back. God was fulfilling his promise to Jacob. But Jacob was afraid. He had heard that his brother Esau was coming with 400 men. Coming with 400 men to meet him. And he was frightened out of his wits. So he separates his stuff. Kind of sounds silly, but he sends his wives across and his stuff across and separates that stuff, and he's there by himself. So a man comes. You almost have to laugh as you read about that in Scripture, don't you? A man, God himself coming down as a man, and he wrestled all night with the wrestler. They were grabbing at each other and wrestling with each other all night long until it got to be time for daybreak. And the man, God, says, "Let me go, it's daybreak." And what does Grabby say? "No, I'm not letting you go unless you give me a blessing. I'm going to grab a blessing out of you." And so God says to him, "All right, what's your name?" "My name's Grabby." "Well," he said, "Jacob." "My name is Jacob, the grabby one." And God says, "No longer is your name going to be the grabby one. Your name's going to be Israel." This is a major event for you in your life. This is a major change for you, and so I'm changing your name. And your name now is He Who Struggles with God, Wrestled with God, and Man, and Overcame. God came to change his life from being grabby to being Israel. What a change that is for his life. Now, Jacob forgot that God had already blessed him. Jacob forgot that God had blessed him from the very beginning. If you know the story, it's in Genesis chapters 25 through 35, but if you remember the story when Rebekah was waiting for this and those two children were wrestling around in her womb, God had told mom, Rebekah, the older will serve the younger. The younger will have the blessing. Already before birth, God had promised to Jacob the blessing. He promised Jacob the blessing as he's running away and going up during that dream of Jacob's ladder. And now he's reminding Jacob, I've already given you the blessing. You don't need to grab a blessing. You don't need to grab it at all. I give it to you. Oh, how gracious God is. God could have overpowered Jacob so easily, but instead, kind of like a dad with his son, or maybe a grandpa with his grandson, wrestling around, and all of a sudden dad finds himself pinned by his child, gives in so that the child can have some fun and learn some things. God, in his graciousness, needed to come and get Jacob's attention. And how's he going to get Grabby's attention? But by grabbing at him and wrestling with him. Wrestle with the wrestler so you get his attention, and then help him to know what a blessing it is that he gave to him. We forget. Maybe we don't realize, or we just forget how blessed we are by God. And yet, like Jacob, there's times when we want to be grabbing a lot of kinds of things. All right, back to the sports analogy. There's a time in football where you're not supposed to grab. Face mask? Nope, you get a penalty for that. Or if you're holding the defender rather than blocking the defender, there's times that you're not supposed to grab on. You're not supposed to grab things. Well, God comes to us and says, oh, my children, there are times that you are not to be grabbing at things. There are all kinds of things in this life that people tend to grab. The stuff of this life, the closets that are full of all kinds of things, the calendars that are so full of so many different activities that there's just not time for those kinds of things, and garages and other places that are filled with all kinds of things. God, in his gracious love and mercy, would say, don't worry about grabbing for that stuff. That stuff is all given to you as a gift, and the gift is for you to use it in response of my love and your love for other people. But he says something even more about being grabby. He says, in your relationships, don't hold on to grudges. Don't hold on to those angry things. Don't feel good about being victimized and that other person is being so bad to me and so on. And don't hang on to that. Instead, give that over to me. Let go. Let go of those kinds of things that are harmful for you and that are not helpful at all. Let go of those, and instead of grabbing with your hands, pray with your hands. Did you hear it in the gospel reading for tonight? How interesting it is, as Jesus tells a parable, most of the time he doesn't tell us the meaning of the parable until later. But tonight he starts off by telling us the meaning of the parable. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show that we should always pray and not give up. Instead of grabbing at things, we fold our hands and we look to our Heavenly Father who graciously gives us all things. This is a simple parable. It was a parable of a judge and a widow. And the widow came to this judge because the widow had great need. There was some injustice being done to her and she needed to have him to help. But isn't it interesting that not once but twice Jesus makes us aware that this judge neither loved God nor anybody else. He was a very selfish man. And yet, what does the widow do? She continues to come to him. She doesn't give up. She continues to nag at him and continue to come to him, until finally he gives her what it is that she wanted, justice. And then Jesus says the most absurd thing that could be. He compares God to that judge. If this woman can get what she needs from this ungodly judge, what about God? What about God who loves you and cares for you and who wants the very best for you? Why is it that you don't come and ask him for the things that you need and the justice that you need in your lives? Oh, how fascinating it is that Jesus has to remind us, don't give up. Don't give up with the political system that we're living under. Don't give up with the social issues that we have in our lives. Don't give up with the economic issues or whatever kinds of things that it is. Don't give up on that. Put your hands together and pray. Come to me and understand that he has the blessings in store for us, that he comes and wants to give us his blessings in spite of what it looks like on the outside. Wow, what a message we need, don't we? As Election Day is coming up and we're wondering, what is happening? What is going to happen here? We just want to give up. So many people say, I'm not voting for anybody. I'm just giving up. And Jesus says, don't give up. Turn to me. Turn to me and understand that what it is that I want to give to you. The Apostle Paul, tonight, all three scripture readings fit so well together. He's writing to young Timothy, and he's giving some good instructions. As we don't give up, and as we have our prayers, and as we continue to look to our Heavenly Father, then Paul writes to young Timothy, and he says to us too, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. You've gone to confirmation class, right? That's not what Paul's talking about. You know the scriptures, right? You know the scriptures. Continue in that. Continue in what you have become convinced of. You know the Holy Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. The Holy Scriptures lead and guide us for that. All Scripture is God's word, not man's word. And it's for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Use my word, God says, to lead and guide you in these decisions that you need to make in this living day to day that you have. People will come, Paul writes, God's word says, to suit their itching ears. They're going to find people that want to have things the way they want it, and they'll gather around themselves those kinds of people. Kind of sounds like political agendas to me. But God says, don't go along with them. Know my word and continue in my word. They turn their ears away from the truth, he writes, but you keep your head. I think that's such good advice as God's word gives it to us. Keep your mind, your head, your hands folded in your head with Jesus Christ. You should always pray and not give up. As Jesus then speaks the parable, and as he encourages us, don't give up, keep praying, he asks that question at the end of the gospel. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That's a pretty serious question. And we know the answer. Yes, he will. Yes, he will, because he blesses his sons and daughters. He blesses us as he encourages us to don't give up. Don't give up on him because he continues to strengthen us. You're here tonight. You're here tonight to be strengthened with his word. You're here tonight to receive his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. You're here tonight to encourage one another in this life that we live. What a gracious God we have. What a beautiful God that we have who says to us, don't give up. Always pray. We've learned a lesson from Jacob tonight. The wrestler, the grabby one, whose name was changed to Israel. we have the name of Christian, the name of Christ that he gives to us. And boy, that makes a difference in our lives and makes a difference in the world in which we live as well. God's continued blessings, fellow Christians, as he continues to bless us. Don't give up. Keep those hands folded and focused on Jesus. In his precious name, amen. May that peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds focused on Jesus Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.